morning. It's great to see everybody this morning. I have a few announcements. Today is Dawson Haas's last Sunday with First Presbyterian Church. As our media specialist, he has been instrumental in assisting us live stream our worship services. Starting in the spring of 2020, it has been an arduous technical trip, but we have succeeded in broadcasting a quality live stream worship service. Godspeed to Dawson on his future endeavors and his ongoing journey. Other announcements will be that there is not a property meeting this Monday night. Please bring your attention to the PELC fundraiser on Wednesday, March 9th at Panda Express. So keep this flyer and share it with Panda so that the PELC will receive a portion of their sales. Pastor Gordon is going to be leading that Bible study still on Wednesdays at noon in the church parlor. Bring your lunch and your Bible, and if you're unable to attend, that service will be live streamed on our Facebook page. The red ritual friendship pads that are in the pews, if you would please, fill them out all the way, and take a look at who is sitting in your pew and sharing it with you, and maybe give them a call or a short email this week and let them know that you're praying for them. As moderator of the fellowship committee, we are implementing a new procedure. So I want to bring your attention to this lovely Disney calendar. It's Thomas Kincaid. It's the last one that Hobby Lobby had. We're going to hang this in the sacristy, and I encourage everyone to prayerfully consider providing the fellowship snacks after church. So instead of me calling and you signing up for a month at a time, if there is a couple or three Sundays this year that are special to you and your family, and you would like to share them with your church family, you can just sign up on that Sunday and bring the snacks, and we will be grateful. It will be great. So nothing special. Doesn't have to be anything special. Just if God lays that on your heart to share with us, then by all means, feel free to sign up. Dave has a few announcements, too, from the worship committee. So if I'll turn the mic over to him.
Good morning, everybody. I have three announcements to make. First of all, these bulletins here, we are recycling the bulletins. So the where you recycle them is the blue trash can. I don't call it a trash can. We'll call it a recycle can. It's next to where the visitors sign in there. Would be to my left. You're right as you go out. Please put your bulletins in there and don't put your trash in there because guess who has to clean out the trash? Moi. Yeah, the Christian Education Committee may be the liaison for recycling. Thanks. Appreciate that, Marilia. And so I was voluntold, so that's what I'm doing. Also, when they put the new doors in, Gladys says, hey, Dave, get a couple doors and bring them home. Well, we've had them there ever since, and the other day we had what's called a discussion about what to do with the doors. So Bill and Sarah Strindeman, very gracious, and taking the doors and are starting to make them into tables. And we're going to put some plexiglass on them. We're going to put one in there for the snacks and one in there for the literature. So we have history. I'm an old history teacher. So we have history and nostalgia in the church of things in the past. However, it's costing about $350 or so, Sarah. So we're asking for donations for this these tables. If you go by the church office and donate some money, we greatly appreciate that and defer the costs for that right there. The third one is, I'm the moderator of the worship committee. Actually, I'm the facilitator. I have four great people on the committee. But anyway, at the session meeting last week, or whenever it was, I can't forget what it was. Oh, the 20th. They needed someone to take care of putting the envelopes in the pew for the great hour sharing. And so I was appointed. You know how you get appointed? Everybody raises their hand. And they drop it, and they point at somebody, and you're the one that gets it. It was almost my first no vote in the session, but I had the hand down. I did not vote no. I greatly accepted it. So everyone has them in the pew, the great hour sharing. Now, what do they go for? Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, a tornado in Iowa last night. I think 5 or 6 people were killed, something like that. Presbyterian Hunger Program, okay, share your bread and history with the hungry. And the other one is self-development of people. So they go over to third world countries and build wells and teach them how to farm and teach them how to manufacture things so that they get out of poverty instead of staying in poverty. So I appreciate you go ahead and donating for that, okay? Thank you very much.
The Lord.
One more announcement. It was in your newsletter, but I neglected to get it in the bulletin. Starting this Tuesday evening at 5:30, we're beginning a centering prayer group. I will deliver a short devotion and some training on what centering prayer is about. The plan is to keep it to 45 minutes. And we're going to start this as a Lenten devotion. And if it's popular, well attended, we'll continue it on after Lent. So anyway, beginning this Tuesday at 5:30 in the parlor. Let us begin with prayer. O Lord of light and salvation, let the words of Scripture live not only in our mouths, but in our hearts, that we will embody your truth and confess with our lives that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Remember the story of our faith. Rejoice in the hope of our faith. Cling to the promise of our faith. The Lord be with you. Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 167, 40 Days and 40 Nights. amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Have faith in Him. We dare to go to the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in confidence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. As Lent unfolds before us, great God, we see how far we have to go to Jerusalem. The road is long, our sins are many, and our burdens are heavy. We can't imagine new life, Easter life, because our current lives are filled with bad choices and failed efforts. Meet us in our weakness. Take up our sins. Ease our burdens. Carry us on the way. Bring us to Jerusalem at last. Show us a love that is stronger than death, a love no tomb can hold. Amen. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. Now, during Lent, we're not going to sing the Gloria Patri, but we are going to sing Agnus Dei, which the words are in your bulletin, or if you want to go to it in the hymnal, you can at number 602. Let us sing together. The Lamb of God does grant us peace. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Will you pray with me? O Lord of light and salvation, let these words of Scripture live not only in our mouths, but in our hearts, that we will embody your truth and confess with our lives that Jesus is Lord. Amen. I'll be reading from Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, and verses 9 through 16. It can be found on page 548 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Hear now the word of the Lord. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. Holy wisdom, holy words.
Please join me up front. Have y'all ever heard of Lent? Anybody ever talk to you about, hey Samuel? Anybody ever talk to you about giving up something for Lent? No? You hadn't heard about that? Well, it's a custom with some people during Lent to give up something like chocolate or sodas or a favorite TV program or something, with the idea that it's a sacrifice for God. You know, a lot of people over time have kind of missed the point of what that means. In Sunday school today, we talked about somebody who gave up Dr. Pepper for Lent and took up Coke. What are they giving up? One of the ideas of Lent is when you give up something you care about, every time you miss it, you think about God. But there's also the idea that if you give up something that takes time, you can fill that time with doing something good. Like if your favorite thing to do is to come home from school and flip on the TV and watch a cartoon. I used to watch a cartoon. I don't know if there are any cartoons on anymore or not, but that's what I used to do when I came home. Or there was a show called Hercules that I liked to watch when I came home from school. But you know, if I didn't do that, if I didn't turn on the TV, I could sit, I could maybe read my Bible, or I could pray and use that 30 minutes to get closer to God. That's called a spiritual practice, and it's a good thing to start in Lent. And so one thing that we're going to start doing on Tuesday nights is a prayer group to maybe start a new spiritual practice. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much that you loved us so much that you came in the person of Jesus Christ, that you spent 40 days in the wilderness praying. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us spiritual practices that we can use to get closer to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all. Thank you, Samuel.
Rejected of men. was despised. Despised and rejected. Rejected of men. A man of sorrows. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and acquainted with grief.
This church is so blessed with great musical talent. Thank you so much for that. Our next lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. And when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Imagine you are going with Jesus into the wilderness to pray for a weekend, say just 40 hours. The Holy Spirit has told you that you are destined to perform mighty acts to lead people to relationship with God for which they have been created. You have prepared yourself to go where you will be alone with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the beauty of the desert. You are excited about the opportunity to listen only to God and to hear what God has in store for you. You look forward to an uninterrupted communion with God. You look forward to Jesus being your guide. You look forward to the Holy Spirit refreshing and empowering you. As Jesus and you climb the side of a hill to find a place to sit and pray, your stomach begins to grumble. You remember there was a berry bush a couple of hundred yards ago, and you start thinking about how good those berries would taste about now. Jesus has picked a spot and is bowing his head to pray as you turn back to get some berries. He hears the rocks slide under your feet and he looks up. His look reminds you that this trip is a fast. Whenever hunger intervenes, it's supposed to remind you that God is your focus. What was that Bible verse Jesus taught us? Oh yeah, Deuteronomy 8:3. One does not live by bread alone. That was the story of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Imagine that. 40 years. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. And this little retreat is only for 40 hours. Less than 2 days. Surely we can make it through that. The Israelites learned after 40 years that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Surely 40 hours of discipline in preparation for the days ahead will be bearable. Chastened, you turn back and settle in to pray and meditate in the silence and the beauty of the desert. Later, as you prepare your bed for the night under the stars, which are sparkling in the sky without interference from city lights, your cell phone rings. Jesus looks at you, and you remember he told you to leave your electronic devices at home. You look at the caller ID, and it's the office. You say, "Jesus, I know I told you I would leave the phone at home, but we have a big deal about to close, and I have to be available to the office. I have to take this call." You pick up, and the boss says, "Where are you? Are you hanging out with Jesus again? You need to get your priorities straight. If you come back to the office, you will make a fortune. If not, I'll have to get someone else to finish the deal." Wow. What do you do? Surely Jesus can reschedule. If I make a bunch of money, I can feed a bunch of hungry people. Won't God like that better? Then another verse from Deuteronomy comes to mind. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus said something about this in the Sermon on the Mount also. Choose who you would serve. You cannot serve both God and money. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This seems terribly impractical. After all, money is necessary to live in today's world, right? What was Jesus thinking? You hang up and you decide you have committed yourself to this retreat, you will forego the deal. The next morning, you and Jesus hiked by the Sea of Galilee, and you see some people diving off a cliff into the water. It just so happens you were a champion diver in school. It would only take a few minutes to show them a thing or two. Maybe they would be interested and listen. But you know, it's not about you. It's about God. You hop into a boat with Jesus and he's rowing you home. As you talk, Jesus tells you that he will be completing his 40 days in the wilderness. And it's up to you to complete your 40 days in society. As Jesus drops you off on the shore, he puts his hand on your shoulder and says, "You have wrestled mightily with temptation, and you are stronger for your good choices. But be aware that the devil is always looking for an opportune time to tempt you. You can always come to me, and my Holy Spirit will help you." Jesus smiles and tells you, no matter what, he loves you, and he turns to leave. Suddenly, you realize how precious your time with Jesus has been, and you wouldn't trade it for anything. How could you have even been tempted? The subject of temptation reminds me of the time three pastors met together regularly for a golf game. One of them suggested that they confess their sins to each other since they did not have anyone else to go to. At the next golf outing, the one who suggested the confession time started out by saying he'd been drinking too much. In fact, he was regularly overly indulging on the communion wine. After confessing, he said, "Confession is good for the soul. I'm glad to get that off my chest." Around the ninth hole, the second pastor said, "I guess I'll go. I have my eyes on a pretty member of the congregation, and I've struck up a relationship with her. I know it's wrong, but I can't seem to stop." Well, confession is good for the soul. I'm glad I got that off my chest. Starting with the 10th hole, the third pastor was running up to his ball and hitting it, and then running up to the ball and hitting it again. Finally, they caught up with him on the 18th green and said, "Aren't you going to confess?" He said, "Oh, all right. I'm a terrible gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here." C.S. Lewis takes an interesting look at temptation in his classic book, The Screwtape Letters. Lewis writes fictional letters from one of Satan's angels named Screwtape to his nephew Wormwood. Wormwood has been assigned to keep his charge, Christian, away from the enemy, God, and to direct him toward the Lord below, Satan. The letters tell Wormwood how to keep Christian away from God. And clearly, C.S. Lewis is giving us an insight in how the devil tempts us. Wormwood is repeatedly instructed about how easy it is to distract humans from God with even the simplest of real-world distractions. In other words, there are many opportune times for Wormwood to tempt Christian. In one example, Screwtape tells Wormwood about the time he had a patient who was reading in the library and who had a thought that was, quote, going the wrong way, end quote. In order to prevent the patient from further developing this thought, Screwtape reminds him that it's lunchtime and how much better it would be to come back after lunch and go into his reading with a fresh mind. Sound familiar? Does to me. Whenever I turn my mind toward prayer, it seems like other thoughts just come in that want to distract me from my time of prayer. Before I know it, the day is past. By the way, we're starting a prayer group. I'm going to keep mentioning it, but on Tuesday nights at 5:30, we'll be practicing centering prayer, which is particularly well suited to dealing with distractions in our prayer lives. Recognizing these distractions and surrendering them to God is a way to develop a stronger spiritual relationship with God. I hope you can join us. Temptations or distractions are a constant battle in our daily lives. William Barclay tells us that the temptations the devil uses against Jesus in this scripture we read today represent three common temptations in our lives. We're tempted to bribe people with material gifts into following God. We're tempted to compromise a little with evil to make the way easier. We are tempted to give people sensations as a substitute for the power of God. Each of Barclay's points could easily be a sermon in and of itself. His first point, the temptation to make Christianity about material things or to bribe people with material things. You recognize that? That's all too prevalent in our culture. How often do we hear some preacher saying that Christianity brings blessings that will make us prosperous? The so-called prosperity gospel is far from the gospel preached by Jesus. Jesus was about producing faithful people, not prosperous people. The second temptation, to compromise, is also far too familiar to us. It's too easy to say to ourselves that God wants us to be happy, and then we slide on making hard choices. It's too easy to quench the still small voice that tells us what to do in favor of the louder cry to do what we want. Compromise is a temptation that comes in many forms and is perhaps best counteracted with asking the question, what would Jesus do? Or what would Jesus want me to do? The third temptation is particularly insidious in the church. It is easy to allow ourselves to follow our feelings rather than let our feelings follow our actions. There's a constant temptation in worship to do feel-good music or sermons or prayers rather than address the uncomfortable issues raised by Scripture. Likewise in life, we follow what makes us feel good. And if we do that, we find ourselves avoiding the hard but meaningful choices. Catering to feelings ultimately leads to a hollow religion and a hollow life. Now, while we are not Jesus and cannot do everything Jesus did, it's certainly helpful to look and see what choices Jesus made. Jesus did not choose to allow satisfaction of his material desires interfere with his spiritual path. Jesus did not choose to compromise by taking an easier route to success. Jesus did not choose to provide cheap thrills and sensations to the crowd to influence them to follow him. Jesus did choose to experience hunger when it allowed him to be closer to God. Jesus did choose suffering rather than power. Jesus did choose humility and suffering and the cross. It invites us to do the same. Will we pick up our crosses and follow Jesus? Or will we choose the easier ways? May each of us take this time during Lent to sharpen our ears and listen for the still small voice of God in order that we might know what God would have us to do, in order that we might be ready when Satan looks for an opportune time to lead us away. Amen. Please be seated. There is one Lord and God from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us turn our hearts and our minds to prayer. Let us have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. As we pray for the world he came to save, saying, "Have mercy, O God." We pray for the church. Help us to confess with our lips, believe in our hearts, and show in our lives that Christ Jesus is our risen Lord. Have mercy, O God. We pray for the world. Let the milk and honey of your promised land flow in every nation of the earth, so that all may enjoy the fruit of salvation. Have mercy, O God. We pray for this community. Let us be angels of your mercy, surrounding all who are in danger and lifting up those who are falling. Have mercy, O God. We pray for the earth. Grant us wisdom as we allocate our resources. May we all be good citizens of your creation and learn to live with what you have given us. Have mercy, O God. We pray for loved ones. Deliver and protect them. Be with them in their trouble and satisfy them with long life. Have mercy, O God. As we pour out our hearts in prayer, O God, lead us to pour out our lives in service to you, ever seeking your will, ever following your way, all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 848, Trust in God. Resist the temptation.